Blog Talk Radio.
Out here in the perimeter, there are no stars. Out here, we is stone, the immaculate.
Now listen to this, I'll tell you about the heartache. I'll tell you about the heartache and the loss of God. I'll tell you about the hopeless night, the meager food, the soul forgot. I'll tell you about the maiden with wrought iron soul.
Let's see if we can get one of these starts right.
Talking to myself again, wondering if this traveling is good. Is there something better doing we'd be doing if we could? And oh, the stories we could tell. And if this all blows up and goes to hell, I can still see us sitting on a bed in some motel, listening to the stories we could tell.
Welcome to another edition of Zuma Time, my wandering narrative here every week on Blog Talk Radio at 646-478-4847. That's 646-478-4847. What's on your nerves, America? Actually, I can expand that to the entire world. If you're on Neptune, I will take your call. I am so tired of talking to myself. And the guests the last month or so, kind of, you know, a little wishy-washy, not really getting engaged. Well, we did have a good conversation a couple weeks ago with Eric Quam in there about the Olympics. But the Olympics are over. I can't take it anymore. I'm still shaking off that horrible feeling from Sunday night, you know, when watching Sidney Crosby break my heart for the 1,000th time, rat bastard. And, well, actually, an early Batman, maybe, I have to play this one a couple times tonight because there's so much. But to the Canadians.
You filthy criminies.
Mm-hmm. Just ask the Russians, right? They lose a loser. Lose a loser. Say that 10 times fast. And all the controversy with the skating and some of the Nordic events. Those Canadians had a good time. And but, you know. Overall, the Olympics are just one giant distraction, one big corporate commercial, and right back to your regularly scheduled program. And speaking of programs, if you didn't catch me Sunday night on the drive-by shooting, that was the New York Baseball Digest Sunday night sports talk show on WGBB, 1240 a.m. here in New York, I did address some of the concerns of the Yankees and Mets. If you're interested in that, you can contact me or go to NewYorkBaseballDigest.com. I'm sure that Mike Silva has Sunday night's clip somewhere. But we did discuss a couple things that bleed into our theme tonight, which is the digestion of raw emotion. We are seeing it everywhere. Okay? It's breaking out in the Congress. It's breaking out, in, oh, of course, in the streets of Chile. Chile. I can't even say it right. There was another freaking earthquake today in Taiwan. Another freaking earthquake. I can't take it anymore. The world's falling apart. Every 5 minutes, we had a snowicane here last week in New York. A snowicane? Yes. They made it up, but that's what was here. And then last Saturday, I watched for like 3 hours while we were working here at Soma Space in beautiful downtown Larchmont, New York, waiting for Hawaii to get the tsunami, and it never showed. How dare that tsunami? And then they went batshit all over the weather forecasters for screwing it up. You know, if we're going to evacuate, at least we'd like our town destroyed. I mean, imagine, they were mad at them. So we're at that point now where a lot's happened, and the season is winding down. And, of course, we're perched headlong on yet another innovation called Daylight Savings, which magically appears on the 14th. So I think we'll get one more show in here before we get the time change. But in Somaliland, the 7th of March will be the end of the winter, as far as Somas are concerned. So we are preparing for spring, like good Somas do, and we're going to go over that on the top of the show to get you guys situated for a very abrupt and very turbulent seasonal transition. The most turbulent one we make all year. I always call it the bears coming out of the cave. Sometimes those bears don't want to wake up. Hit the old snooze alarm. And your immune system will reflect that as you cough and hack and wheeze and drain. There we are. You have a? No, it's not raining now. I thought it was going to rain tonight. Okay. Not so bad. Well, as I was saying, I'm starting to see the remnants of it. Even as we finish shoveling snow and scraping all the ice off the windshield, got in the 40s this week in New York, and now we're starting to look forward to a 57-degree temperature on Sunday. So if you can handle the twists and turns of March, then you qualify for April when all the allergies come back. So I'll give you this. I'm going to read through it here because I think it's useful to do it on the air. I don't normally do this because I save all this stuff for you groundlings that deal with me here face-to-face, one-on-one, together forever here in Larchmont, like two chained chickens. But well, you guys listen out here, you might not have heard this stuff. On somaspace.org, there is a little thing called OVI, which is my weekly woo letter. And on that woo letter, there's a link that takes you to something called the Spring Forward Seasonal Transition Survey. All right? Now, the SAPES that I take care of down here, I explain to them very early on. Every symptom you get, I don't care if it's paranoia or a pimple, is a seasonal imbalance because we're regulated by nature. Our identities themselves are floating in nature. And then we pick it up, organize it, and express it. We're kind of second-order fiddles here, all right? So paying attention to the rhythm of the seasons and all the energy that goes on in and around them, and we get into some moon talk and we get into some other weird things that don't get factored into most people's well-being. But if you are somatically inclined and you're not in your head and you understand the world around you and you're trying to orient yourself in a spatial sense, hence the name Soma Space, this is Soma Time where I explain what happens in Soma Space. Then these seasonal transitions become extremely important. They're sort of revitalization periods. You get to flush out the old stuff and welcome in the new and get yourself set for a different rhythm. Now, coming out of the winter, which is a completely, 180-degree different rhythm, not from the summer, from the spring, okay? Because you're going from stuff that's dead in the winter and you're way down on the core of your body. And then in the spring, you're going through the residual layers, and you're starting to get close to the surface in the summer where the growth occurs, and then the fall, oh, my God, back to repair, and then there we are, and then it's Christmas time. So this little survey is called Spring Forward. I'm going to take the time here to read through it with you so you understand what I'm trying to get at, and maybe if somebody calls, 646-478-4847, we'll take a survey live on the air and figure out what you're going on here, all right? Now, I've only done a couple so far here in the office, but the trend's been all over the map, as it usually is, as we start doing these early in the transition phase. We get closer to the equinox on the 20th, you start seeing some really toxic people walking in the door that have been carrying this devitalized energy for them all the way through past the somatic marking point, as we said, of March 7th, because it always goes by new moon and full moon when you're dealing with seasons with the soma, because the soma follows the moon. And, of course, the psyche follows the sun. Well, that's another whole discussion for a woo night. Anyway, here's this survey, Spring Forward, all right? This inquiry is meant to provide you with resources to help you make a better transition out of the winter into the spring. In the weeks leading up to the equinox, we're giving you the opportunity here to determine if the winter overworked you, weakened you, or completely removed your tonality and you're flat as a dog. Number two, get a handle on what you can do to improve your standing as the spring comes in. And number three, experiment with specific food clusters, exercises, I like to call them exercises, and other adaptations designed to provide you feedback, everything is feedback in the system, on your internal state of vitality. Now, I wrote this sucker God, I think I wrote Spring Forward around 93, around 93, 94, on probably Windows 3.1, something like that. So this thing stood the test of time. Most maps that I come up with are pretty disposable. But the seasons, I haven't been able to dispose of yet, so this thing has some staying power. All right, so listen along with me here, chickies. Now, answer these questions, yes or no. All maybes, anytime you feel a doubt in your mind when you answer these questions, the body has voted yes. All right? These are all about your winter experience up till now. Okay, so since the winter began, late December, number one, did you experience a cold, flu? Oh, the flu? Sore throat, earache, anything like that for more than 4 days? If it's a yes, check it off. That's number one. All right? Cold, flu, sore throat, earache. What's that thing? Diarrhea, constipation, gas, and bloating. That's me. Number two, gain or lose 5 pounds since the winter began. That's that 5 pound, kind of, ooh, I don't know, ooh. You know, and I saw a commercial the other day for these little buttons you put on the pants. Hey, I want to buy a new pair of pants. You just clip a button on. Tremendous. So gain or lose 5 pounds since the winter began. A lot of people gain weight in the winter because they load up during the holidays and then they're not moving around a lot. So that's a yes or no, too. Number three, did you experience bouts of depression, worry, or lack of motivation, or feel isolated a lot? Okay, now we're starting to get into some of the emotions that come up during a season transition. Yes or no on that one. Number four, it's only five, so don't wear me out. Your muscles and your joints, do they ache now? Did they ache all winter? Did you have any injuries, or did you have a decreased sense of mobility overall? Yes or no, right? Number five, last one, did you feel more sensitive to criticism in your relationships? Were you a little antisocial, a little thin-skinned, a little argumentative? All right, so those are the five basic questions. And I asked those same questions, very little variation, you know, basically a couple of words, every season, because I'm interested in the immune response, I'm interested in your metabolic rate, I'm interested in your affect or your overall mood, your demeanor, I'm interested in your locomotor skills, your motion, your body's movement patterns, right, and overall your social outlook, right? Now, those five dimensions form sort of a template. So based on those answers to those questions, you're going to be directed to particular avenues to pursue. Some involve rotating your diet. Some involve changing some behaviors in the last weeks of the winter. So now, here's the four basic patterns of adaptation that deplete your reserve supply of vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. Vitamins, minerals, and amino acids are building blocks to repair you. Making changes now, smooth transition later when spring actually shows up. All right? First thing, and I emphasize this year-round, but I figure now this is the biggest one, poor breathing rhythms. Most of us really suck at breathing. There's a sigh. And because we suck at breathing, we're constantly, constantly inflamed. We're constantly, constantly depleted of our energy levels. We're constantly oscillating in and out of manic or depressive mode because we cannot distribute the oxygen in our bodies. When we take in less than we require, we start a system-wide search for alternatives, right? I wrote this stuff so long ago, it's like looking at another person. We sacrifice our resistance because we shut down the production of hemoglobin. Hemoglobin, he says. This decreases our iron concentration directly. We also deplete our functional zinc, gold, copper, thiamine, B1, pantothenic acid, B5, and cobalamin, B12. B12 before. This results in excess sulfur in the blood. We start to clean up our mess with all that sulfur. The trouble is nothing is around to move the debris out, so our tissues get irritated. Remember what happens in the spring, right? Tissues are irritated, right? Things start bubbling up to the surface. The thymus, liver, bone marrow, and spleen try to help the kidneys to neutralize all the acid. Oh, my God. Auntie M, there's a fire. Well, used to be. Well, there's a tornado, but not the fire. We can usually handle this one if we sleep well. If we're not breathing well, we're not sleeping. And replenish ourselves with minimal TLC for the body. However, if we continue to not listen, body says, oh, yeah? It starts messing with your sugar, irregular blood sugar, or tissue salt concentrations. Now, nobody talks about tissue salt concentrations, but I did back in the day. This is the expense of an inefficient breathing pattern, irregular blood sugar, and varied tissue salt concentrations. You begin to deplete yourself. We start to juggle our backups in an attempt to stay vertical to gravity's unconditional message. Right? Everything about somatics is about being able to work within gravity, resist it, and be able to be sort of buoyed by it rather than be crushed by it. Because when we try to hold ourselves up with our heads and our minds, we tend to look a little silly. And there are no drugs for gravity. There's drugs for levity, but that's another show. So, our balance, gait, appetite, and muscle and joint fluidity is taxed. More sulfur irritates us as we continue to deplete ourselves of all these essential minerals, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, sodium, silicon, manganese, calcium, and vitamins like riboflavin, niacin, and folic acid. I never talk chemistry, but I am now, because this is what's happening. Your body is completely changing its metabolism, its output, all those things because of all the external factors that are being shifted around as the environment changes from winter to spring. Light, temperature, all that stuff, right? The adrenal, stomach, gallbladder, thyroid, pancreas, and heart step into the dance. How many organs are dancing here? I got thymus, liver, bone marrow, spleen, kidneys, adrenal, stomach, gallbladder, thyroid, pancreas, and heart. We have one last resort. Change our brain chemistry. But wait a minute.
I got a bad liver and a broken heart.
That's right. Well, we can't help that tonight because St. Patrick's Day is coming up for that. So we had all these organs in the soup, but now the brain's going to try and conduct this orchestra, right? Guess what happens? We know we're losing control, and that's when fear kicks in. Hormonal fluctuations and cell death is the next step. We haven't even got the spring, and we got the hormones fluctuating and the cells dying. Great. I feel like Gilbert Gottfried of radio here talking to myself. At this point, our body is pulling back to bed and won't let us rest, depending on our makeup. Or it won't let us rest. Either we go into fatigue or we go into super hype mode, right? Amino acids like taurine. Oh, I love the taurine. A bile salt component. Tyrosine, tryptophan, phenylalanine, and alanine itself, not alanine, alanine, part of our sleep-wake and fight-or-flight rhythms, are locked into these fixed patterns, and we feel it. The iodine is scarce. We're in heavy traffic with little fuel, all because we didn't breathe well. Wow. That was like 10 minutes, just to get you to the point where you realize this stuff is for real. And it's all happening all over the place, big stress pattern, just because the season's changing. Take everything else out of the table. Take the war, take all the economy stuff, take all these systemic big fish items that fly over your head every day, like the Wicked Witch of the West. Gonna get you and your little dog too. Terrorism, all that stuff. Airline garbage, snow canes. Just because the calendar says winter to spring, all these areas are going to be challenged, and all these areas you have to have answers for, or your body will run through its cascade to defend itself. The secret is realizing that within every rhythm of your body, and there's six basic ones that I focus on in my work, there is a cycle that goes on that is a remnant of this seasonal transition on a smaller scale, on a faster scale. We don't perceive it because we're not really conditioned to. But if winter represents breathing out, an exhalation, a dying, an expelling of things we no longer need, in the spring comes the rose, the impulse to breathe in comes back as soon as you exhale fully, right? So in that transition from exhalation to the impulse to breathe in, complete hairpin turn, the system has to reorient itself, and it's a completely different activity, right? And then inhalation, that's the summer. And then the impulse to breathe out, that's the fall. So within every breath, you have that cycle. And it works through movement patterns and felt sense awareness and your reflexes and your pulse and your voice. Yes, your voice. The impulse to speak. Speaking, the impulse to STFU and STFUing. So there you go. That's the spring forward motif. I gave you the questions, now let's give you the answers. So, if you scored a yes on question one, which deals with your immune system and all that cold, flu, sore throat stuff, 2 points for that one. If you scored a yes if you check the yes for the gain or loss more than 5 pounds during the winter. Guess what? You get yourself 3 points for that one. All right? And if you were depressed, worried, didn't feel very motivated, or kind of felt isolated, a little cabin fever during the winter, get yourself 4 points for that one because it hits all four of those adaptative patterns we were talking about before. Number four, if your muscles and joints are sore, that happens a lot in the spring because guess what? You're going to start hitting that stinking golf ball, that little fuzzy tennis ball, you yuppie bastards. So the muscles and joints are going to ache because you've been skiing and shoveling snow and fighting with your kids. Right? Or you've been just sitting around doing nothing and you haven't had much mobility and your joints are not really working. 4 points for that one. And attitude, spring, I'm a little lenient on it because only two of the four patterns are active. 2 points for that one. Total of 15 points. Now, score it up. What'd you get? Right? Between 0 and 5, you did well. You held on to your resources. You skated through the winter. Very good. Maybe your exosomatic resources were high. 0 to 5. Support mode. We'll get to that in a minute. 6 to 10, your body has to rejuvenate. You got a little work to do. Yeah. You fell into the category of being weakened by the winter. Not overworked, but weakened. And then the third category is 11 or more. Your system is toxic, and we probably need to do a flush. And the closer you are to the borderlines, the more you can cross-train between these categories. All right? It's your call. All right, so let's go over these things here and get you guys souped up for a smooth transition to spring. All right, so the support people comes from this, food clusters and exercises. Again, we're trying to replenish the chemicals and we're trying to get the body to move again because your motor system is the gate, the kind of the rate-limiting step on your immune response, and your immune response is going to really mediate how much you're going to be able to absorb nutrition and eliminate waste. Okay, everything's cooperating here. I'm talking real serious doc crap tonight. All right, you guys got any questions so far? Again, interrupt me, 646-478-4847. I'll go over anything you want because nobody's calling to talk to me, no guests. I can't seem to find anyone who want to talk about this very controversial topic I have to bring up in some news. But I figure let's have a little experience here, and then we'll get into some of the facts of life out there. All right, so the supportive food cluster. For the support people. And I emphasize this all year round, but these are the ones that hit the high notes during this transition time. Beets, watercress, raspberries, apples, artichokes, garlic, cashews, walnuts, and pecans are your resources there. Now, we have two connecting rituals for the support people. First one's called Don Campbell's Overtoning. Now, Don Campbell's a pretty renowned musician that works in the mind-body field with music. He wrote a bunch of books. I think he's actually, was he the guy with the Mozart effect that they kept rebuking, which is a bunch of BS because it's actually kind of true. But anyway, he studied this concept called overtoning. Right? So I'll walk you through. We're going to do all six of these things because, you know what, I figure why not? When else am I going to get a chance to do this? I never did this before. I've done the show for 3 years. I didn't get a chance to walk you through. I'm going to walk you through the spring forward. That way, if you actually get the paper copy, you've heard this and you go back and listen to me. All right, so we're going to do Don Campbell's overtoning. So sit, sapiens, if you're not sitting. If you're driving, just keep sitting. And close your eyes if you're driving. Don't. Okay, now, put your mouth in that pre-whistling shape. You know what that looks like. You just purse your lips like you're going to blow. Slowly open the lower jaw like an alligator and try to keep the lower lip steady, almost like you're going to drink something. Really, hee-hoo, like that. It helps to hold the chin down with one hand. Now we're going to stretch the voice. It's one of our six rhythms. As you exhale, make this sound. And now, if you can imagine this, on a regular basis here at Soma Space, I use the banjo down the hall. The acoustics are good. And one of the things I do to sort of perk up my energy is this exact sound, which I have internalized over the years, and it sort of just spontaneously comes up, and it sounds like this. All right? Try that one. Right through your belly and up to your chest and out the top of your head. Then you can try this one. Goes from your head to your belly. So there's overtoning. Wow, my heart's going like a trip hammer. That was cool. Right? So just with your voice alone, just a couple of vowel sounds, a little vowel movement, as it were, you get support. All right, there's another one working on the skin. Smile line charger. Okay, drag the outside of your index fingers along the edge of your skin from the side of your nose to the upper lip, also known as the smile lines. All right, so you'll feel some heat in your skin as the blood charges you up 4 or 5 times. That is actually the thyroid stress receptor. So when someone has a weak thyroid, they don't have much of a smile line. Okay, it's a big indicator that their thyroid is stressed when they smile, and there's actually no line there. There's like no tone. There's no, you know, muscularity to it. So that's the smile line charger. And again, this is a much more important when it gets a little warmer out and you're going from an air-conditioned environment out into 80 degrees, and now, of course, going from 70 degrees inside to maybe 20 or 30 degrees below that when you go outside. This is a big thing as we transition. Charge up the old face, couple of sweeps, and out you go. All right? So that's support. Next stop, rejuvenation. So these are the SAPs that score between 6 and 10. So you got a couple of these adaptation patterns going on. You're pretty beat up. This one you want to focus on combining the food and exercises. The support one, you emphasize one or the other. You can get away with it because you're pretty well stocked. So you can just kind of pick and choose. Rejuvenation, you got to do both. Okay, here's the food list. And again, all this stuff is on my site, somaspace.org. Click through to Vital Interest, and it'll take you to the Vital Interest Central page. You click on this week's edition, and right there in the middle of the page is the link to this particular seasonal transition survey. So, the food list for the rejuvenations. Celery, codfish, cabbage, sauerkraut, darkened whole wheat toast. Ooh, that's good stuff. Pineapples, bananas, avocados, asparagus, pears, almonds, pumpkin seeds, peas, and mushrooms. Look at that list. There's a stew. All right, now those are reaching deeper because we're trying to get more of these organs that we talked about before all back, you know, singing together. So we have two connecting rituals in this set, both concerned with the feet. Because what do you start doing in the spring? You start moving around more, right? And the kidneys are the winter's organ, where the liver and the gallbladder are the spring. Kidney and bladder, winter. Liver and gallbladder, spring. So we're going to work to support the kidneys to boost them up, to give them a little push off as they get out the door and get you out there moving around during the spring. So the two exercises are this. First one's called rollerball. Sit comfortably again, sapiens, and the drivers can wait till they get home to do this. And you take out an old golf ball. Now, I don't know if Tiger's doing this one down there in Florida these days, but I'm sure he's sitting on something. All right? Put the golf ball into your left foot. You find a sore spot. Shouldn't take you more than a couple of seconds. And you press down on the golf ball for about 90 seconds. So that's taking about 30 full breaths. Just not a tremendous amount of pressure. Don't go crushing your foot. As much as you can probably stand on your eyeball with your thumb is about all you need to do. All right? So that'll kind of open things up down there, and then after that, kind of lightly wrap the soles of your feet with a loose fist or kind of massage it out with your thumbs, just to tell the ligaments who's boss. All right, ligaments are passive. They're like people that respond to infomercials. They just do whatever they're told. So that'll connect you to the feet, and that'll get the kidneys to be rejuvenated and really help reroute you, because posture is going to matter more, because we talked about before, your body's breaking down, you're going to see the system is not going to be able to resist gravity, okay? And it's going to start becoming, totally imbalanced and able to govern itself. And when your body's not really working well with its posture, that can occupy 90% of your brain's energy. And normally it's about 30. So, you know, this is something easy to do to avoid a lot of noise in your head. A little rollerball. When you're watching TV, you could be watching the damn TV, you know, some dopey bachelor show or something, and you could just be doing that. The other exercise is the arch relax. All right, this one's a little bit more intense. You yogophiles will like this one. All right, so sit on the floor and you put your butt on your heels with your toes arched back, stretching the arches of your feet. Okay? Maintain that position for 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Okay? So 10 breaths. After that, again, lightly wrap, loose fist, massage in the thumbs, because you're trying to stimulate that kidney root, which is right down there in the feet, so the meridian anchors itself right in the sole of your foot. All right, so now the feet have two things to rejuvenate. You got the Smile Line Supercharger, you got the O-I-E-O going on. You're really into the vernal. Detox mode comes in. All right. You critters out there with a score of 11 or more, wake a neighbor and have them listen to this part of the show. All right? Here's the detoxifying food clusters. There's some specific organ flushes. Like I said, we got to get that crud out of you. And some connecting rituals for you guys. Here's the list. Carrots, cucumbers, white grapes, cranberries, radishes, onions, parsley. Parsley. Black cherries, squash, blueberries, egg whites, turnips, dates, dandelion greens, which are very important if you're coming off meds. And sunflower seeds. Wow, what a list. Okay, now, three organ flushes I'll give you. These come from my good friend Jack Schwartz. Met him a couple of times. Renowned naturopath. Absolutely sensational guy. Give, he did. And he left us this. All right, now, before you go to bed, this is something you can do now so you don't have to pay taxes later. Again, the number to call to interrupt me, 646-478-4847, 9:30 on a Wednesday here, Eco Filippi with you. Liver flush. Now, I'm going to say this out loud, and then I'm going to just let a little pause go here. If you have irregular bowel movements, this flush might be for you. All right, here it goes. 2 ounces of lemon juice, a teaspoon of olive oil, a teaspoon of blackstrap molasses, a knife point of cayenne pepper, 4 ounces of lukewarm distilled water. Down the hatch. Yum. And then alert the neighbors. All right. Now, I like to take the cheat sheet and just take a little chlorophyll. Like with chlorophyll, swig it down, and the rest is history. But the reason why the liver is all clogged up, as we talked about before, taurine, all those bile salt, tissue salt concentrations, the liver has to detoxify all that. A lot of that stuff building up in you during the winter, and then now the spring has to mobilize, and your bile comes out like crusty whiteout instead of like a shampoo bottle, like it should. Its neighbor, the gallbladder, another key organ for the spring. If you have frequent muscle aches, gas, or abdominal cramps, now you might have both things going on here, right? Again, 2 ounces of lemon juice, 3 teaspoons of olive oil, instead of one, a knife point of cayenne pepper, same as before, 4 ounces of water. So the only thing you really change is the blackstrap molasses and a couple teaspoons of olive oil because you're just dealing with the gallbladder, trying to break up that gunk that's in the bile. Now, little note, if you're arthritic, substitute apple cider vinegar for lemon juice, because the lemon juice, being a citric acid, might irritate the joints. Okay? I'm giving out some really cool stuff here tonight. I actually like doing this. The show goes quicker, and I feel like I'm doing something productive. All right. Kidney flush. Ah, the kidney flush. I tell you what, I've been watching for almost 20 years. I think I've flushed every goddamn kidney ever walked in this door. These people are so anxious. Just walking in the door, I go, kidney flush. And this one, okay, see if this fits your category. If you have a frequent urge to urinate, which is, every man in Larchmont over the age of 55, trouble concentrating, every man under 55, or fatigue, that would be the rest of the people. 2 ounces of apple cider vinegar, 4 ounces of lukewarm distilled water, and a teaspoon of honey just for taste. Repeat as needed. Now, I always recommend the kidney flushes are done in a fashion where if you're going to do this method, you do them consecutively for a week. If you're going to take the apple cider vinegar tablet, and I like Solgar as a brand, you do it every other night for 2 weeks because the pills are a little bit more concentrated. All right, so there's your three organ flushes. Okay, now, connecting rituals for you detox people. We've got to get the oxygen going. I started talking about that at the beginning. So, balloon class. Hello, balloons. A good diaphragm stretch is blowing up a balloon. So you get yourself a pack of balloons and you use it as a 2-minute body break. a 3-balloon minimum. At the end, you have a party. 2 weeks, you're going to have a bunch of balloons. So you looking for the payoff. It's not so much that you can blow up the balloon or not, because a lot of people that are weak and their lungs aren't working right, they're going to turn beet red blowing up these balloons. Then I put them in bubble class. Bubble class, you get the soap bubbles out, and you sit out there on your lunch break and blow the bubbles. Just getting used to what? Expiration, which is the winter's message, right? So that you can get more entrained to the impulse to breathe in. It's like if you're going to throw a rock, 50 yards, you're going to lean back the other direction to throw it forward. This is exactly what we're doing. We're trying to get an elasticity into the diaphragm. Okay? So that's the balloon class. Now, again, if you have to go to bubble class before that, that's fine. The only other one I recommend to people that really have some serious conditions with this, and, you know, I guess my son's probably put in this category too because he does it this time of the year, is candle class. And candle class is you take, a candle on your kitchen table, and, you know, like it's going to be for a candlelight dinner, and you stuff it, you stick it there in the middle of the table, about maybe a foot from your body, and you put your hands flat on the table, and you just exhale without any effort and see if you can blow the candle out. Not pursing, not bubble blowing, just like that. And then you move from a foot to a foot and a half to 2 feet. And if you're optimizing your lung capacity, a normal, rhythmic, full exhalation will blow out that candle from 4 big feet away. And again, if you're someone that's coming back, really depleted lungs, really suppressed immune system, you're asthmatic, all that crap, seasonal imbalance, guys, you just got to blow out the candles and a piece of cake. And the cake is a reality pie. All right. So that's those. And the last one is called power breathing, which actually is a variation on the one that we do for the somatic basics. It's kind of the same, really, except that I try to emphasize a little more in this one that we get out of the lower ends of the ratio and work more towards a target. So you inhale for 5 seconds. You hold it for 20. You exhale for 10. All right? So inhale for 5. Let's try it. Let's see if I get it. Ready? Okay, stop inhaling, or do whatever you're doing. Now hold that for 20 seconds. Now try and see if you're holding that breath in your chest, your throat, or your belly. You really want to hold the breath in your belly, but most of us are going to hold it in our chest because we're in a visual environment. That's where the breath's going to go. So after 20 seconds, we've got about 8 more to go. We're going to breathe out for 10. Okay, coming up. And now breathe out slowly. Breathe out fast, too much. Slow, you got 10 seconds. Go. Wow, very mellow. Sorry, couldn't resist. Power breathing. All right, you do a set of 10 of those, you're going to feel high as a kite. And I've got other tricks up my sleeve, like breath deprivations and some other stuff that I deal with my local clients, but this is good enough for you. You're getting it for free. All right, so there you go. There's your spring forward. Again, any questions or any comments or anything that you want to go over again, get a hold of me, nakedsoma@gmail.com, somaspace.org, pop over there, sign up for the OVI newsletter. I love giving away this stuff because, to me, these are stress strategies that not a lot of people know. They cost you nothing. They're good neural hygiene, and they're also good social hygiene because they take this tension out of your body. You don't have to stick it in somebody else's tissues. We do. We inflict ourselves on each other. All right. Let's take a little song break, and I'll get back here with some Soma news. And then we'll see what's on the safe phone.
California. Sunset. Going down. In the west. All the colors. In the sky. It's another day. Thank you.
back here on Summertime. Again, the number is 646-478-4847. And really what, you know, those colors in the sky leads into some of the summer news. So let's see what we got here. Let's see if I can dial it up for us as we start taking a look at the world around us.
How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow? How now, brown cow?
All right, here we go. Now, many of you are aware that there was a huge earthquake last week over in Chile, and I refuse to call it Chile. Sounds a little gauche. But did you know how bad it stuck us? Because it stuck us good. It actually knocked the earth off its axis. Now, I'm fond of saying that we're going to hurl to the sun, but I don't really think we're ever going to do that, but this was interesting. All right? I got the chat room open in case you guys want to hop in here with questions if you're too shy to call. I'll keep a monitor on that. I'll be shocked and surprised if any of you ever actually do it, but I am there. So you can go over there if you have any information about some of the things I'm going to be talking about. I would appreciate it as we wind up the hour here. I'm going to try and get out 10:05, 10:10 tonight, unless we get a shocking call from NSM Doc out in Sacramento. I did put an email in this morning, but he's not responding as of yet. We have other things to do. So, the Chilean quake literally shifted the Earth's axis, a NASA scientist says. From Bloomberg.com, reporter Alex Morales, the earthquake that killed more than 700 people in Chile on February 27th, and of course the number's higher now, probably shifted the Earth's axis and shortened the day. You realize that? An earthquake shifted the Earth's axis and shortened the day. That's pretty heavy, man. Earthquakes can involve shifting hundreds of kilometers of rock by several meters, changing the distribution of mass on the planet. This affects the Earth's rotation, says Richard Gross, a geophysicist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, who uses a computer model to calculate the effects. The length of the day should have gotten shorter by 1.26 microseconds. That's millions of a second. Right, you know, I don't know if it's going to make you have a, you know, get a red light or something, but the axis about which the Earth's mass is balanced should have moved 2.7 milliseconds, or milliseconds, I can't even read that, about 8 centimeters or about 3 inches. So the Earth's, we moved, the axis moved 3 inches, the whole Earth. The changes can be modeled, though they're difficult to physically detect, all right? Some changes may be more obvious. Islands might have shifted. We really got short-sheeted on Saturday. I mean, it was a rocking thing. Santa Maria Island off the coast of Concepcion, Chile's second-largest city, may have been raised 6 feet off the ground as a result of this quake. I mean, can you imagine if the Earth under you just decided to move up, you know, my height, 6 feet? Pretty intense. No one's really talking about this. He said the rocks were there to show evidence that the past earthquake shifted the island up in the past. It's what we call the ice skater effect. As the ice skater puts, when she's going around in a circle, she puts her arms in, and she gets faster and faster. The same idea with the Earth going around. If you change the distribution, the rotation rate changes. Now, we're in a gravitational field, guys, and that gravitational field just got rocked silly after we got rocked silly like a month ago. So we're going to get to why in a minute. So, these seismologists are checking this out, and it's like ringing a bell. The magnitude 9.1 and 2.4 in an earthquake in Sumatran generated in the Indian Ocean a tsunami that shortened the day by 6.8 microseconds and shifted the axis 2.3 milliseconds. So we've been moving around. The changes happen on the day and then carry on forever. All right. This small contribution is buried in large changes to other causes, such as atmospheric mass and move around the Earth. But that's just the side story, guys. That's just the result. That's just the sort of the physical vapor trail of this thing. Now, you know, I was driving around in a snow cane the other day, so I have my reference point. And a couple of clients that were out there working it, actually. So I'm going to try and connect a couple dots here, see if you guys can figure this out. All right. Now, a couple weeks ago, that jobs bill that's been, you know, bandied about down in Washington got moved through. And in the jobs bill, there's a piece about the Patriot Act. that they absolutely promised to, you know, end. And no, it's buried in the jobs bill. So the Patriot Act, of course, is another one of these government, you know, old, like caretaker things for martial law, things like that. And, you know, we've seen it come up with the checkpoints at the airport, the trial for the terrorist in New York City, Gitmo, Patriot Act, emails, spying, all kinds of fun things, right? How does that have anything to do with the Earth moving off its axis? Well, okay. This is where it gets interesting. All right, now I mentioned this thing about this Chilean earthquake being 8.8 magnitude, right? Now, that's what's called a megathrust, according to these scientist guys. All right, megathrust occurs when a segment of a tectonic plate moves suddenly beneath another one. It's called subduction. Since 1900, all five earthquakes of magnitude 9.0 or greater have been megathrusts. No other type of tectonic activity can produce earthquakes of that scale. These are big fish earthquakes. Although this quake was only 8.8, close enough. It's the product of this thrust. So this earthquake was similar to the one in 2004 I just mentioned, which killed nearly a quarter of a million people. I don't remember this earthquake in 2004. Wild. A large segment of the plate moved beneath, causing the upper thrust, violent shaking, and the tsunami. Oh, that was the year of the tsunami. Okay. This quake, in fact, ties the magnitude for the 1906 Ecuador quake, fifth largest quake measure since 1900, and the one that was out in 2004... the distance to heavily populated shores was great enough to allow warning. Okay, so the other one, you know, really nailed them over there. All right, so there's been 120 earthquakes worldwide since 1900. Death tolls exceeded 1,000 people. So 128 of these things killed more than 1,000. It's not necessary for an earthquake to be a particularly high magnitude to achieve devastation. Quakes of magnitude 5.7 has killed as many as 2,800 people. Of the five quakes that exceeded 100,000 deaths, only one, the one in 2004, exceeded a magnitude of 8.0. The identified death toll in Chile said to exceed 1,000, but we're getting close. However, it is unlikely to approach larger scales. Chile was prepared because they had a big one back in, I think, 1960. All right, now, there's other causes of earthquakes, sapiens, and you're not going to like this. No, you're not going to like it at all. It is not a good thing.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
No, it ain't King Kong and it ain't Godzilla, but it is the government. There are other theories of why these megathrusts occur. Now, the first theory, of course, is very geological. Seems to make sense. You know, lateral movements of plates and subductions and magma moving around. Okay, every once in a while, megathrust. The other theories, people believe there's a device designed to investigate the ionosphere activity. Ionosphere, that's way out there. And has the power to move these plates. It's called the High Frequency Active Oral Research Program, otherwise known as HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. Okay, is in no way a weapon, they say. Nor could it generate a 100 gigaton energy release halfway around the world. It's not that kind of device, Apes. Right? This is coming from a website called gather.com, okay? Politics section. All right? It's a high-frequency radio transmitter, not an energy pulse transmitter, as these folks claim. This is shooting down the conspiracy theorists. A theory propounded called the Daily Paul, yes, Ron Paul is featured, something called scalar electromagnetic super weapons called longitudinal wave interferometers or Tesla howitzers. Watch out for the Tesla howitzers. Earthquake weapons. The reality is, politicians and Secretary of Defense notwithstanding, none of this is real. In truth, plate tectonic movements account for both volcanoes and earthquakes. No need for outrageous conspiracy theories or hyperbole. We're talking about moving billions of tons of rocks, entire segments. None of the proposed quakes could begin to... So let's leave the moon bats out of it. All right? Now, that's from our man on Chuck, posted by Chuck L. Now, this is before we got too deep into this, but this is back on the 28th. And it's a comment, basically. So that's the government kind of cheese on this. Then we go to Mercury News. Oh, wait a minute, I ain't going there. I ain't going there yet. No, I'm going to go to my friend Jesse Ventura. Because, if I want news about what's going on in the world and what's real and what's not real, I'm going to Jesse. Jesse went up and checked out this stinking thing. And I did feature it on this week's OVI. So I'm going to play with a couple of minutes of the clip that I posted there that talks about this HAARP thing and what it really is. And, it's just a radio transmitter. We're just looking at the ionosphere. It's really not causing any earthquakes or anything. Well, you judge for yourselves here, folks. Let's just listen to a little Jesse. This is him working with a scaled-down version of this to his head.
Cover-ups.
Love Jesse. You gotta love the Jesse.
If you know the whole story, think
again. Okay, you got something on HAARP you want to tell me? Better call me soon.
A Navy SEAL.
Connecting dots here, guys.
A fighter.
Patriot Act. Environmental laws. Earthquakes. Snow hurricanes. Tsunamis. And the swine flu. All that coming up after
now,
Jesse.
The top secret government project.
That's right.
That can destroy the world.
One of the most dangerous projects the United States government has ever attempted.
There it is.
When aimed at the sky, it can change the weather.
With 1 billion watts, you can easily move a cloud wherever you wanted to move it using HAARP.
When aimed at the ground, it can set off earthquakes and tsunamis.
My father's hope was that this type of technology would be doing more good and not doing any harm. And they're saying now we have a weapon.
When it's pointed at you, it can literally blow your mind.
This is the death ray.
Jesse Ventura and his team head north to Alaska. Take a wild ride through the Arctic tundra.
We're out here in the wilderlands of Alaska.
And confront the ultimate conspiracy weapon.
This is more than impossible.
That's HAARP, the real-life doomsday machine.
Hold on a second, guys. I got a problem here.
Stepping our opening here.
I'm Jesse Ventura, and this is Conspiracy Theory.
All right, let's skip ahead, see if we can get something juicy here.
The HAARP array seems to be based on a set of patents for a ground-based Star Wars weapon system. Now, it may be good to have Ronald Reagan and shield.
Destroy incoming missiles and things of that nature if they're fired at us.
Exactly. This same set of patents also describes how it could be used to manipulate the weather over North America.
Missile defense and weather control. Jerry Smith says that's only the tip of the iceberg in Alaska, because the extra low frequency waves that HAARP generates can also drill much deeper than the ocean. Deep into your brain.
That EOF that allows them to see deep in the earth and communicate with deeply submerged submarines is at the same frequency that the human brain works at. Brain waves really are, in part, radio waves. The brain can be influenced by external signals.
Mind control? That seems a little far out. But weather manipulation is all too plausible. Jesse drives off to begin the investigation. And he can't shake off thoughts of recent events like the Indonesian tsunami and Hurricane Katrina. Back at his war room, the governor meets with his elite team of investigators, researchers, and operatives, all of them itching to get on the case.
All right, people, I want no excuses. What have you come up with?
Well, we've got a physicist that says that HAARP can do everything that Jerry Smith told you it can do.
And how exactly is he going to do that? Start a hurricane?
Yeah, quite literally. He has a device that shows that you can actually move clouds, and he's going to do this experiment for me.
That's interesting. Where do we go from here, people?
This photo was actually taken just before the big tsunami hit the coast of Indonesia. And what we're seeing is the aurora borealis, or the northern lights. They occur anytime there's any sort of electromagnetic occurrence in the ionosphere. And they say that when they turn HAARP on, the colors get really wild up there.
And the other thing that's interesting is before the tsunami was that there were no pre-tremors or any warning. It just happened.
How often are the northern lights spotted in Indonesia?
Why would we want to cause a tsunami and kill thousands of Indonesian people?
Yeah.
Alex, maybe they didn't want to. Maybe they were just experimenting with the thing. They put it up too high, and this was the end results. What do you think they're going to do after it happens, then come out and say, whoops, we made a mistake, and fess up to it?
I mean, think about it. They're testing whole new technology, right?
So yeah, here they're testing this thing. Every time they come up with something new, they got to check it out. And if there's collateral damage from it, that's what they look at. Oh, well, it works. So there was a little collateral damage in it. At least now we know it works.
All right. You got to love the Jesse. But it's on the conspiracy theory show. And yeah, I got to tell you, as a card-carrying woo, I kind of like this idea. I kind of like this idea that the government is out there of saying, you know, we're just going to try something and see if it causes collateral damage. Because you know what? That is what your government is up to these days. Do you think they cared about the banks collapsing? Do you think they care about the healthcare system collapsing? Do you think they care about this unemployment thing that they've been fighting about for 3 days? No, 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 no. Why? Why do they not care? Because they're not invested in you. They are...
You filthy criminies.
A pack of crooks. Why would you put your faith in anything they do? Vis-a-vis a swine flu update. Here it is.
Son of a gun. You thought I was
going to
say son of a bitch, didn't you?
Yep, I thought so, but I'll say it for you. These dirty rat bastards. Still haven't got your flying... Still haven't got your swine flu shot? Well, there's plenty left. Marissa Savalas out in California again, looks like. 3 months ago, families hauled sleeping bags and pillows into the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and camped out for hours in lines that snaked half a mile to be among the first to get the wonderful swine flu vaccine. H1N1. Now, medical providers and pharmacies can't seem to get rid of them. The once coveted swine flu vaccine and the pandemic that went with it. The government is frantic. Because they're facing the reality of $3 billion they paid to rush these vials out into the world. And the county is has a glut of vaccine that may soon end up being medical waste. How about them, fishes? When people really wanted it, we didn't have it. Now we're getting tons of it, and they don't want it, Tina Utzon says. This might be the first time we end up having extra. To be sure, there's plenty of H1N1 vaccine to go around. At least 100,000 vaccines are left over from the 800,000 people in Santa Clara County that received it. California, the Public Health Department, has 4 million doses left and thousands of more vials available to health providers throughout the state. Everywhere you go, there's signs of the glut. A pink billboard on Interstate 880 urges drivers to make a date to vaccinate. Make a date to vaccinate. Oh, my God. The phone message at Kaiser insists that the vaccine is available for anyone. Even San Jose's Children's Theater holds an H1N1 clinic. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then there was no line when Terry Crews went there Friday night. Used to be 40 shots a day, now down to 10. Months ago, when the swine flu was on everybody's mind, you couldn't get a shot anywhere. There wasn't any of the vaccines available. Why'd you wait so long with so little news? I forgot about it. Can't scare us if you can't scare us. Doctors still recommend the shot to those who haven't rolled up their sleeves because there's a chance of a swine flu third phase. But there's certainly a bunch of leftover doses. Now, I don't know if that third phase is going to match up with the original vaccine, but that's not science. That's healthcare. The manufacturers don't want them back, see? And neither does the state. Not even the federal government. We're still working on a plan to do with what we did with the leftover vaccine. Oh, I don't know, stick it in the cows, maybe. After the regular flu season's over, doctors normally return the unused vials to the manufacturer for reimbursement. But since the government, not the healthcare providers, bankrolled it, you're out of luck. Millions of unused vaccine going to medical waste. Isn't that classic? So, with all this stuff going on, you know, you look around. If you've got an economic crisis, and you've got a unemployment crisis on top of that, and you've got an insurance reform bill that has wedged itself like a kidney stone in the Senate, in the House down there, can't seem to pass that thing through, right? Not with a plunger. Now you've got two or three natural disasters, and again, there was an earthquake today in Taiwan, there was an earthquake in Japan last week, we had the Chileans, we had two in Haiti, we had a snow hurricane here in the East Coast, and we had a big flood in Europe. War's going on, all this crap's going on, right? Patriot Act gets pushed through. Swine flu on the prowl, right? We got the HARP thing, manipulating the weather and doing mind control. If you don't think you have even an ounce of social stress, I just read to you for half an hour how your breathing rhythms are affected just because the seasons are changing. So if you think you're going to just sit this one out, well, I'm sorry. There's not enough caffeine and not enough mochaccina in the world to avoid it. So what you going to do? Huh, tough guy? What you going to do with all this stuff I said? I don't know. What are you going to do? You're going to get Elvis.
What the fuck was he talking about?
That's right. Well, what you're going to do is you're going to go to my site, somaspace.org, and you're going to say, frig all this and teach me something new. Teach me something that has a good story to it, not a bad story. Because, you know, as we get deeper into the spring, I'm going to start sharing that a little more here. Doing these exercises, I like doing this because fills the hour, number one, and I feel like I've done something productive to share a little of my work with you. Because for the most part, what we're trying to generate here is positive physiology. Positive. Why positive physiology? This stress physiology that we're wired in, that we're immersed in, that we're cooking ourselves in, is not going to get you any healthier. In fact, it's going to freak you out even more. You know? I mean, aren't most people more concerned about Leno getting back on the air? You know? I mean, it's just Sarah Palin's performance last night, and you know, we drown ourselves literally in distractions because the stuff that we have to look at is not very attractive, and it as a result, we really don't know where to turn, and that's why I'm trying to get you guys to understand that you don't have to really hide anymore, you don't have to sit there and pretend to not understand, to pretend to cope. You're not coping very well. You're really not. And so as we get to next week and we start getting back into the next cycle, okay, because next week we'll be starting our spring, first week of the spring on the Soma side, getting ready for that new moon, which appears, as I check, checking, oh, over here, I'll look. New moon is 15th, you know, and then I'll be hopping a plane to go down to Florida, actually, after that. So we'll get ready for that next week and get ready for the spring proper. But right now it's summertime for spring. You got to get ready, got to get ready, got to get ready. All right, so again, I hope you guys enjoyed the show tonight. I hope you guys got something out of it. And if you have any questions, any comments, any queries, any conspiracy theories, anything you got for me, you can always catch me at nakedsoma@gmail.com. That's nakedsoma@gmail.com. One more check and see if my friend is here, see if he knows he's calling, okay? And, you know, so we check the save button, and then what we really got out of this is you wanted anything to know about, anything to do with these conspiracy things, okay? I will give them a shout out here. You go over to YouTube, all right? Ooh, open your window, and you look up Sacromaniac, all right? It's let's see if I can find it real quick for you here. I'll give you his link. Actually, he's got a whole bunch of things. He's actually on Blog Talk Radio. You go to freedomizer.com, I think it is. Let me just double check. Got a couple of seconds here, might as well. Boy, I am just one disorganized guy. Because I love his stuff. He's been on the show a couple of times. I'm going to try and see if I can get a hold of him next week because the Copenhagen thing is coming back, you know, cap and trade thing. And there's a whole bunch of things that are affecting your ability to function as an individual in this universe. And I'm upset about that because I feel like that's something that when we get into, you know, some of the stuff in the healthcare debate about death panels and things like that. Those are real issues for people. You ever had, you know, someone facing a decision like this, and you see the way the system deals with you? I mean, they wash their hands and feet of you right away. So you go to YouTube and you type in his handle here, Sacro, as in you know, Sacramento, Sacromaniac. It's S-A-C-R-A Maniac, M-A-N-I-C S-M-C. Okay, there you go. And you'll find that it's NSM Doc, if you want to just go shorthand, NSM Doc. He's got a bunch of stuff on here. Let's see if I could just fast forward his last post, which was 3 days ago, to the last part of it here, because he gives you a nice little shout out here. It is an Onto week, but, you know, sometimes feeling a little Onto, a little saucy. And he's got that distinctive voice that only Doc can have.
Everybody thought being a tough guy was being cool.
Here we go.
So where are all you tough guys, huh?
That's right, tough guy.
It's time to stand up and be a tough guy. It's time to be that dangerous man. We can't do this by ourselves. Folks like Sheriff Mack, folks like Stuart Rhodes, out there standing in the gap, holding the line for us, standing in the face of tyranny, while we all sit back and sip our Pepsi and watch Dancing with the Stars. I'm tired of it, folks. It's time for pitchforks, torches, nail bats, and a lot of rope.
There you go. There's my buddy. Freedomizer Radio, NSM Doc, if you want to catch him. He's out there, and hopefully we'll get a hold of him and get him back on the air to rattle your cages, okay? All right, then. So I'm putting a cap on it here at 10:07. This Filippi is hungry, and you guys have, as usual, listen quietly. So I will play us out here with a little Avril Lavigne, a little Canadian music. And we'll see you next week here on Summertime. And thanks again for listening. And thanks again for your time and your space. Be yourself and be well. Travel light through the darkness. Peace.
Chill out, what's she yelling for? Lay back, it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see. I like you the way you are. When we're driving in your car and you're talking to me one-on-one, it's you because. Dressed up like you're something else.